committee members here with us now, and I welcome you all to State Affairs. I'm calling this meeting to order at 3 minutes beyond 9 o'clock, Tuesday, February 9th, 2010. At this time, please turn off all your electronic devices if you haven't already done so. Let the record reflect that I have a Senator French with me, Senator Meyer, myself, Senator Linda Menard, Senator Pasvan, and Senator Kukesh. I'd also like to introduce to you my committee staff, which is Sarah Munson, and then Michael Rovito in the back row. He's my lifeline. Because the first bill we're going to take up is the second verse to the Alaska State Song. So at this time, I'd like to turn over the gavel to the Vice Chair of State Affairs, Senator Meyer. And I'll sit here if that's okay, if that's acceptable.
Sure. Madam Chair, let's see. Madam Chair, you're passing the gavel because this is your
bill. It's her bill, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
No, because I like you.
Oh, okay. So do you want to introduce the bill, Madam Chair?
Yes. The bill is the second verse of the Alaska State Song, Flag Song, and I am the sponsor of this bill. And in the interest of time, I'll just sit here. And maybe, Michael, if you'd like to come up front, please. And
okay. You want Michael to introduce the bill?
He'll just be there for questions and state your name and affiliation.
My name is Michael Rovito. I'm staff for Senator Linda Menard.
Okay. Very good.
I can begin.
Oh, okay. You're going to introduce it?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Senate Bill 43 will add an official second verse to the Alaska Flag Song. The bill has a zero fiscal note and will put into statute something many music lovers and Alaska history buffs have wanted for years. It will also pay homage to a woman who wrote the second verse out of the love of Alaska and its native population. Just a bit of history. The flag song was adopted by the territorial legislature in 1955. The song was written by Juneau resident Marie Drake, who worked for the Department of Education. The second verse of the flag song, which we're speaking about today, was written by Carol Beery Davis in 1987. This is the appropriate time to add the second verse to the flag song because of the recent 50-year anniversary celebration of statehood. Passing this bill will also be a long overdue honor to Carol Beery Davis and by extension pay homage to Benny Benson, the young man who designed the Alaska flag. Benson is mentioned in the second verse in a stanza reading, "A native lad chose the Dipper Stars for the flag, Alaska flag, that there be no bars among our cultures." Most recently, both houses of the legislature heard the second verse when the Alaska Youth Choir sang just before the opening of the 2010 session. Do I have any questions from my colleagues?
No, that's my job.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you turned the gavel over to me. Is there any questions for the sponsor or the sponsor's trusty staff here? No questions from committee members? Okay. Very good. Then let's go to public testimony. Let's see. Do we have anyone? Do we have a sheet here?
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. My script. All right. Is there anyone online who wanted to testify? One person. Okay. Do we have folks here in Juneau who want to testify? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and take the folks here in Juneau? Okay. Great. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning. If you would, for the record, state your name and affiliation, please.
My name is Connie Davis. I'm the third daughter of Trevor and Carol Beery Davis. I would like to give a short history on the relationship between the song, the flag, and my family, mm-hmm. For those who haven't heard it before. My mother was good friends to Marie Drake and Eleanor Dewsbury. They all came to Juneau about the same time. My mother hired out of Seattle to play for the silent movies at the Palace Theater. She was a theater organist. And Marie, of course, took a job immediately with the Commissioner of Education. So these three just had a very good relationship for about 7 years. And Governor Parks had taken a trip to Washington, D.C. He saw the rotunda of flags, and the gentleman there told him that Alaska's flag would be there if we had one. So he came back to Juneau and started the contest with the American Legion. I think he had been a Legionnaire himself. But anyway, there was a great deal of excitement in Juneau, and my father was on the committee, the final committee to vote for the flag, and he did vote for it. The bear and the iceberg did come in close, but anyway, they did vote for the present flag. And so Marie was talking to the commissioner one morning after the flag was decided upon, and the commissioner thought it'd be a good idea for the school children to have a little flag and also to have a copy of the Flag Act. Well, Marie did not like the idea of them memorizing the Flag Act. She thought they should have something easier to understand and perhaps even a jingle. So he said, all right, then you write it. So she did. And it became very popular. She went from school to school all over the territory to introduce the song. And then Eleanor Dewsbury really was a resident of Haines, but she had visited several times in Juneau and got acquainted with Marie and my mother. But her husband was leaving his station at the barracks in Haines, and she had to go south to back to Omaha, I guess, and she saw a picture of the flag and the verse, and she became very homesick and emotional over that. So she started, as soon as she got home, she started working on the verse, on the song. She actually had been a choral director. I don't know if she was doing that kind of work in Haines, but that was her profession. So things began to come together, and the flag was voted upon, and then many trips were planned, and the flag had gained quite a bit of popularity about that time. They went, I think maybe all of you know, as far as Paris, France, with that flag. I don't know if I left out something. If you have any questions, please ask.
Well, very good. Thank you for your testimony. Questions, Senator Kukish?
Did she write the music to the verse? Is that what you...
Marie Drake, Eleanor Dewsbury from Haines wrote the music once she had to leave, yes, and go back. And then she got together with Marie about the music a couple of years later. I think she came back for a visit.
And then turned it into an official song.
Yeah, then they turned it into the song. Marie had no idea in the beginning that she was doing this. So it came about that way.
Go ahead, Senator Cook.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for that, because the history is so interesting. I never really knew it myself until you had told us that history earlier on in another committee, but I'm just amazed that nobody's written it down. And I
Oh, my mother wrote it down.
No, I mean, I went to school in Alaska. Oh. I never saw it in the history books. I'd love to see a portion of that in the history books of the state of Alaska.
Well, I think mother wrote the first little booklet on it. I still have a couple of old copies. But that is an interesting idea.
It's a history point in Alaska, and I'd really love to see it someplace.
And the City Museum has put out a nice booklet on it, too, a little bit from a different angle. But, you know, it's a very, very well done.
I just want to thank you for making the connection for us. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Well, my mother, of course, everybody, even today, just come to Alaska to look and see, just for a three-month visit or something. And my mother's job was a temporary job, but she lasted 70 years. When she wrote the song, she was 90. When she wrote the verse, she was 95 years old, and she lived to be two months under 100.
Wow.
So it was a long life, and she loved Alaska, and I think Alaska did her well.
So. Great. Well, thank you for that history. Is there any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you for joining us this morning. Okay, was there anyone else here in Juneau that would like to testify? Yes, please join us. Again, if you could just state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
I commend the Senate for taking leadership this year on this. My emails from all over the state has us all fainting with joy. thank you. And also I would like to thank the late Senator Ferguson, the late Representative Alfred Widmark, and the late Representative Alvin Osterbach.
I'm sorry.
For their kindness and leadership.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Could we get your name again for the record?
Constance Monroe, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
And Juneau resident.
Very good, thank you.
And the reason I mention these three is because they worked very diligently to try and get someone to donate the second verse. I'm here to also represent Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 2, and Dorothy Wallace, who was the first one from our camp to come and speak in front of the House and Senate in support of this right after Carol wrote it. I also am the chairperson for the Juneau Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, who also, as a big body, endorses this. So we've got lots of people that are ready to give you written testimony if that is a need. So I just wanted to mention quickly the whole thing of sharing treasures. For myself personally, I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Native population. They got me my first job. They got me into the University of Alaska, then Juneau Douglas Community College. When I lost a son, they took care of my family and sent for my other son, brought him to Savoonga and did a survival thing with him so that he would start talking again. And I thank them for sharing their life's treasures. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please let me know. And we can get people from Healy, from Angoon, you name it, to send emails if that's what you need. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah, appreciate that testimony. We do have some emails included in our packet, and I know we've been getting them at our computers in our office as well. Is there any questions? Senator Menard.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Senator Meyer. Yes, would you share with the committee, please, how the Native people wanted a white person to be able to write the second verse with that contest?
Yes.
Just real quickly.
I'd like to clear that up. Sure. When I first asked the Native Coalition whether or not they think that it was a good idea, they all said it was a terrific idea, and that we had discussed the possibility of holding a contest similar to the flag contest for someone in the state to write a second verse. And then Alvin Osterbach was real concerned. He said, we had a discussion, and because they were concerned that it would cause some stress or strain and it wouldn't be appropriate for the Native Coalition in the legislature to fund a contest, and it would cost money. And Frank Ferguson said it would be nice if it was a gift, so maybe we could put out some feelers for someone to just do it and then we'll look at it. And so that was tabled. We did not hold a contest. Carol Barry Davis said, okay, we won't do that. And we just waited. And in 1987, I lost my job with the state when we had the big crash and was going to move to Boston. And the only thing I said to Carol was that before I leave, we didn't have a song. The gift didn't come. And I got a phone call the next day, and she had stayed up all night and wrote it and had it done in one night. And there was my present.
And how old was she at the end of
it? 95. She stayed up, and she wrote that song in one evening. I was stunned. And, of course, right away we gave it to the legislators that were interested, and that's how the whole thing began. And then we did all the paperwork for Fairbanks. Fairbanks had to have that in their archives. They had to accept it, and they did.
That's great. Thank you for the history.
Okay.
Senator Murray, anything else? Don't leave yet.
Just for clarification, we're talking about the second verse.
Second verse, yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Senator Kukish.
Yeah. How many
Thank you for your testimony. How many years have you personally worked on it? You
well,
personally?
Since 1987.
Okay.
Is when we, with the legislature, you mean, trying to get it through? We've tried to get it through the House. The House was the initial sponsor three times. And this, it never came out, got out of committee, I think, in the Senate. And I even spoke in front of the pioneers of Alaska at their state convention and so on. Their concern was that, no, it's history and we don't want to add anything. And I couldn't convince them that Carol Berry Davis was part of that history. She wrote the Alaska Flag Book, and she's a pioneer of Alaska. The pioneers recruited people that were here 30 years that were from outside. And it was very, it wasn't inclusive, in my opinion. But we really had to get their support in order for it to go through the Senate. And so now, look what's happening. I'm in shock. So
there's always hope.
Please, right. The 50th anniversary, please.
Senator Cookies, please.
I just want to compliment you. I want the committee to know that I've known Connie Monroe for many, many, many years, and I always thought she was an Alaska Native. I'll tell you the truth. I always did
well,
think you were.
Edie Ebona asked me what village I was from.
Yeah.
And you know these Italians, you know, we get some Indian parts in the movies sometimes.
But thank you.
But I am adopted, and I'm a life member of Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 2.
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much.
Any other
Senator
questions?
French.
No.
Seeing none, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Okay, was there anyone else here in the audience that would like to testify at this time? Okay, we'll come back. Then let's go online. I think we do have someone online. Is Lorraine Hausman?
Yes.
Please, for the record, state your name and affiliation, please.
Lorraine Hausman.
Okay.
And I'm an Alaskan.
Okay, great. Continue with your testimony, please.
Okay, I really appreciated the testimony that each person has given, and I'm calling probably for a different reason than those that have testified, but maybe similar. I'm a long-time Alaskan. I've been up here since the end of 1952, and I'm from Kodiak, and I knew Benny Benson. He was a great friend of my mother and father. In fact, he took us in when we first arrived and gave us our first home until we could get permanent housing built. My feeling as far as the Alaska flag song, it hurt my heart when I saw that they wanted to add an additional verse. Not that I'm against the verse. The second verse is beautiful. But the song itself is a work of art and was created at a certain time and accepted by the people of Alaska. Everything that Benny Benson states about why he designed his flag the way he designed it is incorporated basically in the little jingle, which I think is the way it should stay, a simple jingle about a simple flag. There's been several reasons why people have stated in the history of this coming up why they want to change the song or add to it, which I don't really feel that it's respect to add anything to a work of art. A new song, fine, but to change something is so simple and beautiful and part of our history as this song would really hurt a lot of people too. Reasons that have been stated that I'm aware of have been that the first reason was that it was to honor Benny Benson because it wasn't honoring Benny Benson in the song. And I can tell you, I can't speak for Benny Benson because he's not here, but then neither is the original writer of the song. With due respect to Carol Berry Davis for writing a beautiful second verse, But I do know that I sang the song with Benny Benson, and I remember a big smile on his face. And it's a wonderful childhood memory. The song means an awful lot to me, personally. And I would really like to see it stay the way it is. I understand the controversy, but I believe making a lot of other people, giving other people credit for a work of art that was done by one person at another time is not good, and I don't agree with it. So that's how I feel. So I hope that it doesn't have an addition to it. I would love to see another song for children, but I think the little jingle is much easier for children to learn it was for me. And it's been a wonderful song for a long time. And I would sure hate to see it changed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Lorraine. Is there any questions? We do have a question from Senator Kukish.
No, it's just a comment. I just want to make the comment. It's interesting that over the years I've seen Alaska change. I've seen Alaska change where people look at the Alaska Native differently than they did when I first became involved in politics in Alaska. The fact of the matter is an Alaska Native did write that song, or did design the flag, The fact of the matter is I am an Alaska Native. The fact of the matter is I think that Alaska Natives need to be recognized for their contribution to the state and to the contributions that they've made to the peoples of the state. If we don't want to recognize Benny Benson through the second verse, then the individuals who are going to be heard are not the non-Native people of the state, it's the Alaska Native people of the state. I've pointed out to you before the Alaska seal. Look at the Alaska seal. And look at the people who designed the Alaska seal. Certainly an Alaska Native was not involved in the design of that seal, because you look at it, you see stacks of wheat, you see a sailboat, you see a powerboat, you see a sunshine, you see trees. You do not see one depiction of the Alaska Native community on that seal. What is wrong with taking a song now and adding a second verse that has just one little statement about the Alaska Native community on it? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if Benny Benson was alive, and I think I can say this more than anybody in this room because I am an Alaska Native, that he would wholeheartedly agree that the Alaska Native community needs to be recognized for its contributions to the state and for its contributions to the people. And Benny Benson, as an Alaska Native, would recognize that before anybody would. And we have records in the archives of the Alaska Native Brotherhood where he has participated in the Alaska Native Brotherhood, and where he has participated in a Native community in Alaska. And I think it would be a dishonor for me not to step up and say, I want Benny Benson, along with the rest of the Native community, to have some small recognition in the state. And there's no requirement. There is no requirement in the state, if the second verse is adopted, that you have to sing it or that you have to use it. But the fact of the matter is, and we all saw it when we got the first day of session here, people in fact do use that second verse already. Whether or not this community as a legislature adopts it, the fact of the matter is that second verse will be used and will continue to be used in this state. And I really appreciate the idea that we're not forcing people to use the second verse, we're just recognizing its possible use in the future and making it somewhat official. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thanks, Senator Kukish. Lorraine, I don't think there's any questions for you, so again, thank you for your testimony this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, was there anyone else online who wanted to testify? No? Okay, anyone else here in Juneau? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll go ahead and close public testimony. At this time, open it up to questions, comments from committee members.
I'm in favor of the bill.
You like a bill. Okay, Senator. Okay, pass Ben. Senator French, comments? Okay. Senator Kukish, anything to add?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Well, my script here says I have to move this bill, but I can't do that. So I'll go to Senator Pascavant. Senator Pascavant, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move that we advance Senate Bill number 43 with personal recommendations with attached zero fiscal note from this committee. And it's backslash A version that's before us.
Okay, very good. Any objections? Seeing no objections, then the bill moves out of committee. Thank you, committee members. Thank you, Senator Menard, for bringing this forward. And with that, we'll take a brief at ease.
Thank you. Back to order. Thank you very much. Next, we'll deal with a Senate Joint Resolution 24, Constitutional Amendment, Guaranteed Permanent Fund Dividend. Would you like to come forward as maker of the bill? Please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it will, I'll sit across from you so we can have a better conversation.
Okay, thank you. This bill is sponsored by Senator French, and he will state his name for affiliation, and his staff will do the same, please. And we'll
thank you, and good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Hollis French. I represent Senate District M.
Madam Chair, Kristen Peterson, staff to Senator French.
Good morning. If I may, Madam Chair, I think I'll begin just by reading the sponsor statement into the record. It's the first time that the resolution's been heard, and I'd just like to make a good, complete record with your indulgence.
Yes, go ahead.
The permanent fund dividend should be permanent. The dividend represents the people's direct share of our commonly owned natural resource wealth. Protecting the dividend from encroachment fulfills the Constitution's mandate that our natural resources be managed for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans. SJR 24 is intended to keep that constitutional promise. Looking back at the debate that took place as our Constitution was written helps place the policy goals of SJR 24 in a historical context. E.L. Bob Bartlett, Alaska's delegate to Congress at the time of the Constitutional Convention, believed that our mineral wealth, which he called the people's wealth, should be used for two distinct purposes: the support of Alaska's governmental services and the use of all the people in Alaska. His vision, which predated the Prudhoe Bay oil discovery by 13 years and the creation of the permanent fund by 21 years, captures the current usage of our state's oil wealth to support state government and to pay an individual dividend to each Alaskan. Protecting the dividend preserves the fundamental idea that some portion of our natural resource wealth should be spread equally across the state to each citizen. Every year in June, the budget consumes the vast majority of our oil wealth. Since 1977, the state has taken in approximately $102 billion in oil revenue. Since 1982, when the first dividends were issued, the state has paid out approximately $17 billion in dividends. Therefore, less than 17% of our commonly owned wealth is distributed equally. The political system directs the vast majority of the state's oil wealth to the various needs of state government as fairly as it can, but inevitably the budget tug-of-war produces winners and losers. Budget battles can be fierce, and there are almost always regional and departmental imbalances in how the state budget is allocated. The dividend stands in stark contrast to this political process. The dividend goes equally to all, regardless of which political party is in power. What could be more fair? Protecting the dividend in the Constitution is not a new idea. Over the years, a variety of public figures have advocated for this concept. In 2004, the delegates to the Conference of Alaskans, called by then-Governor Murkowski to develop a consensus on the role of the permanent fund in the state's future, adopted this idea as one of their four policy initiatives to put the state on firmer financial footing. SJR is intended to make certain that the dividend, a unique feature of a unique state, continues into the future. Please join me in supporting SJR 24. Madam Chair, you'll see that I have with me a book prepared by the Institute of Social and Economic Research on Alaska's Constitutional Convention. And I just want to bring two pieces of that to the attention of the committee this morning before we begin a discussion about the bill. And the thing I want to begin with was a unique feature of our Constitution, which had to do with our mineral wealth and how we took title to that from the federal government at statehood. As you know, the members of Congress who were looking at Alaska becoming a state were very concerned about our ability to support ourselves over the next decades. They looked at a state that had a small timber industry, small fishing industry, and a few other little sort of regional economic imperatives, and they asked themselves, how is the state going to support itself? And so what we got at statehood was 100 million acres of land. But what was unique about that grant was this, and I'd just like to read from this recitation of how it happened so that we're clear about the history. It says this: under a bill being considered in Congress, all federal land grants to the state would include mineral deposits. However, the federal grants of mineral lands to the state were being made with the express condition that all land disposals by the state contain a reservation of minerals. This meant that while the state could sell the surface rights to land, it would be permanently prohibited from irrevocably disposing of mineral rights. What that means is that today we own the mineral rights to all the minerals underneath state land. We can't sell them. We can't give them away. We must retain them. They're the property of the state as a whole. And I think what this resolution is meant to provoke, at least in part, is a question about what is the state of Alaska? What is it? Is it the legislature? Is it the governor? Is it the people? Is it some combination of all those things? And I think we'll have a spirited discussion about that as the bill moves through the legislature. Finally, I'd just like to read a little bit from the speech that Bob Bartlett made to the Constitutional Convention. And he spoke very passionately. His speech is famous for the passion he brought to the idea that that this state could be exploited if we're not very careful in our resource development. And he over and over referred to the use of the mineral wealth to support not only the government, but the people of the state. And he said it two times, and I'd just like to read those sentences if I could. The financial welfare of the future state and the well-being of its present and unborn citizens depend on the wise administration and oversight of these developmental activities. And he said it again a little bit later. He said, the taking of Alaska's mineral resources without leaving some reasonable return for the support of Alaska governmental services and the use of all the people in Alaska would mean a betrayal in the administration of the people's wealth. So that's some of the historical context of how we came to be here. I know some folks are concerned that the dividend is a giveaway, or the dividend is a form of welfare and so forth. But I think we need to remember, and it was actually Byron Mallott who addressed these issues in a Compass piece he wrote a few years ago. He said this: the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend is not a government giveaway. It's not a form of welfare. Indeed, it is among the most conservative of public policy notions, that of a contract between Alaska's government and its citizens to share a portion of resource revenues belonging to all directly with each. I guess I'd just close and ask whether a dividend from your stock in Exxon or BP or Conoco is a giveaway, or whether it's something that's yours as an owner. And I think this bill is meant to provoke the question, are we really an owner state, or is it something else? And so with that, thank you for giving me a few minutes to explain my idea, and I welcome your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Committee members, is there anyone? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A few things. Senator French, your latest example, if you had stock in a General Electric or Exxon or something, you know, they would pay you a dividend. And but also too, what happens with those type of companies is in the good years they pay out a lot in dividend. In the bad years they retain their earnings for ongoing services or ongoing operations. And in some ways that's how I see our permanent fund dividend as well. You know, when oil prices are high and we have lots of money, then we should be paying out more to the general public. But in those lean times when oil prices are low, production's low, we may need that flexibility to use some of the money that would normally go out in permanent fund earnings or permanent fund dividends for state services. And if I understood what you read there correctly, that is the intent of the permanent fund, is to help maintain state services. So my concern is with this bill you have before us, then that would make the permanent fund dividend not even an option anymore for us. And as you know, then in those lean times, you have to look at an income tax or a sales tax, which the general public doesn't like that either. So I don't know, I'd just like to hear your comments on that.
Senator French.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, through the chair. And that's exactly the kind of discussion I think this bill is meant to provoke. I guess I'd fall back and say it's the resource wealth that's supposed to support government and the people, not the permanent fund. And but that's a subject of debate as well. Some people think the permanent fund is a rainy day fund. My view is that a rainy day fund wouldn't last very long in Juneau. It means different things in different parts of the state. It wasn't called a rainy day fund. It was called a permanent fund. I don't know when, if ever, the permanent fund will go away and be extinguished. But that's sort of point one. Point two is that resolution before you doesn't guarantee a dividend. The resolution simply takes the current calculation method, the five-year average of our stock market investments, and puts that in the Constitution so that if the stock market's good to us, we pay a dividend. If the stock market's bad, we don't get a dividend. It's exactly the same statutory calculation that we have now. It's just simply put in a place where it can't be tampered with. So that if we did have some lean years and we did decide to reach out and grab some of those earnings, we'd be prohibited from doing so. And I think it's a legitimate question to ask whether we should do that at the such that you might need an income tax or a sales tax. My view is that the dividend should be the very last thing we grab in order to balance the state government after other measures have been taken. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, Frank, follow-up.
Follow-up, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right. This is a very good discussion. But I think what people have to keep in mind is that there's the permanent fund, which we can't touch. We, the legislature, can never touch it. It's only by the vote of the people can you touch that. And there's, I know we have the experts here, there's probably $35 billion in that fund right now. So it's not a small amount. But what we're talking about now is just the earnings off of that principle. And for some reason, and I was here in the early 80s when they were setting up the program, I always thought, they wanted the legislature to have that flexibility with the earnings to if you don't need the earnings, you pay it out in dividends, plow some back in for inflation proofing. But I think we all anticipated the day when Prudhoe Bay and Kaparik were going to decline to the point where we weren't getting enough royalty money, royalty tax, production tax, everything we get there, to fund state services. So we would probably need these part of these earnings that we had been paying out in dividends, and they wanted the legislature to have that flexibility. And I think we're there, or I think we're getting close there. As we know, production's going down 5-6% every year, and there doesn't appear to be anything out there to offset that anytime soon. So my concern personally would just be, locking this up for forever or until we can change it. Maybe a bit short-sighted, but it's a good discussion to have.
Okay, Senator Meyer. Senator Passavant.
It might be useful to the listening audience if you would describe what you mean by earnings reserve account, so that structurally, when there are earnings in the permanent fund, what you mean when you use the terminology earnings reserve account. So if you could explain that a little bit.
Thank you, Senator Pascoe. Through the chair, the permanent fund has a corpus, that is what we call the body or the main account where our royalties go, the 25%. The state of Alaska gets a 12.5% royalty from all the value of the oil that flows out of the ground. It's the owner's share, the king's share, they used to call it, the royalty. And of that royalty, one quarter and sometimes a half is dedicated to go straight into the permanent fund. And that's, over the years, what has created the corpus or the body of the permanent fund. It's also largely been, about one-third of the value of the permanent fund has come from those deposits. Another third has come from special appropriations in big budget years. Senator Meyer may recall that back in the late 80s, early 90s, before oil prices crashed, we had, or maybe even before that, we had big budget years where we had surpluses, and the legislative leaders here would grab $1 billion and put it in the permanent fund so that it wasn't available to be appropriated. And we've actually been fairly responsible in that way and have probably put a third of the value of the permanent fund in there through those special appropriations. The other third has come from investment gains over the years. Now to your question. Every year the permanent fund bank account throws off revenue the managers of the fund buy and sell stocks according to their best calculations about when that's a good idea. And those earnings, the capital gains, go into an earnings reserve account. And at the end of the year, typically, that money is split about half and half, inflation proofing and dividends. And over the years, that's been about the only thing we've used permanent fund earnings for is to pay dividends into inflation proof. I hope that answers your question.
To follow up?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Senator French. You know, a lot of people do charitable work for foundations, and there are restricted gifts that are given to charitable organizations, and the giver of that says, I will give you this piece of property as long as it is only used for a soup kitchen or something like that. And, you know, to some extent, one could look at this as saying, you know, we are allocating this, for future Alaskans, you know, permanently restricting its access, similar to a charitable donor would do to make sure that after their individual mortal life is over, that their good works can continue. And so I'm just trying to understand it in that concept of I think what is happening in the private market with long-term investment and restrictions. So
if I may, that's a
Senator.
Great comment. And I guess it sort of goes, this bill will provoke a lot of discussion about what the original intent of the permanent fund was. And I think that's a difficult question to answer. There were 60 people here that created it. You have to go back and sort of mine their individual memories, and many of them, of course, are not accessible to us anymore, about what they meant. And I think it's fair to say that it has changed over time. I think it's probably fair to say that the original intent was to use that chunk of money someday to sustain government services. But I'm not sure that's the perfect vision of the permanent fund going forward. And I think it's a good discussion for us to have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator French. Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. earlier on, Senator Meyer mentioned that we can't really do anything with the permanent fund without a vote of the people. If that's the case, why do we need this bill? And maybe you can explain that to me, and I don't even understand where the vote of the people came from, because I don't remember that.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, the permanent fund bank account itself is locked away behind a constitutional prohibition against our spending it without going to the vote of the people for their permission. The earnings reserve account is separate from that, and the earnings reserve account is available to us every year for appropriation. Every year we vote to spend money for a dividend, and every year we vote to put money back into the permanent fund for inflation proofing. It's that does not require a vote of the people.
Okay.
That legislative appropriation could happen, or it could be voted down, in the Senate and in the House, and no dividend would be paid. It's that annual vote that determines.
So just so people understand.
Yes, and that's it. Yeah,
just
thank you.
People can balance it and see the
right.
difference. Okay,
right.
Good. That's all I want.
People don't think of it as happening
right.
here in Juneau. They think of it as happening automatically, but we it's a legislative act every year, and it depends on who's here in the legislature.
Thank you.
Senator Passman, are you?
I know part of the debate is also over the income tax that's paid, and so if you distribute $1,000 to an individual citizen on a blended average, maybe 25% of that, $250, immediately has to go to the IRS. Where if you use that for public purpose, coming from the earnings itself, then you can use the entire $1,000 for the betterment. And so that's part of the policy issues that are at play as to whether we give the federal government 25% of Alaska's earnings, every year as part of that. So I think that is part of the larger debate.
Senator French.
And if I may, thank you, Madam Chair. And I think that question presupposes that every person in the state benefits equally from our state budget. And I think many of the citizens in Juneau would say, I don't get much out of this. I don't have kids in school. Maybe I ride a bicycle and don't drive a car. Maybe I just use a car a little bit. Or maybe I live in a village by the ocean and ride take a skiff to and from where I gather fish. So it's an interesting question about how each citizen benefits from the state budget versus how they benefit from having their little share of oil wealth delivered to their P.O. box and let them use it as they see fit. It's a great it's a great philosophical question.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, you're right. You know, and these subjects are great because we can talk all day and argue back and forth. It's just like the 12% royalty we get. You know, it's supposed to be used for the highest best use for Alaska citizens. And what we've decided to do, rather than taking that oil and have our own oil refinery and making our own gas and giving everybody cheap gas, we've opted to sell it on the market, free market, at the highest price, have it come into the general fund, and then help the Alaska citizens through hopefully better schools, better roads, et cetera, et cetera. But you can debate whether that's highest and best use of our resources. But I think it is important to point out that, fortunately, when the permanent fund was set up, that the principle, the corpus of the fund itself, is hands-off. We can't touch it. Can't, no matter if we wanted to. There's $35 billion there and frankly, a lot of states are envious of that because, you know, they're sitting in deficits and we got $35 billion in our savings account. But the earnings and the earnings reserve is and always has been left to the legislature's discretion. And like you said, we've always, in fact, it shows up as part of our budget. And that's one reason why our budget is so large, is we have all these earnings that we have to report. But you're right, we've always put half to inflation proofing. The other half has gone out in dividends. Now, one thing you brought up, Governor Murkowski, when he was governor, it seems like, though, he was pushing the POMB concept, which that was the half that would go out to dividends. We were going to take a little bit of that and use that for state services and then have the rest go to out in dividends. That was called the POMB, and it was very popular for a while. I haven't heard much about it, and I don't know if you want to comment on that or just leave a sleeping dog alone, but... But yeah, it's an interesting topic, but I think the legislature has been very prudent in protecting the principle itself and also the earnings.
Would you like to?
If I may, thank you, Madam Chair, through the chair to Senator Meyer. The Conference of Alaskans was sort of the Governor Murkowski's response to a budget crisis. And it looked like our oil revenues were going to be under ground, and our state spending was in need of some resources, and so he convened 55 Alaskans, very prominent, some not so prominent, but a fascinating array of Alaskans to debate this issue over 3 days in Fairbanks, and they did adopt the POMB idea, which just means you take that bank account of the permanent fund and pay out 5% a year, and by paying out 5% a year, you automatically inflation proof because you believe you're going to make 8% over time, and so you're accumulating that 3% difference every year. But to me, and what the Conference of Alaskans understood was that if you're going to do that, in order for the people of the state of Alaska to embrace that idea, they would need some promise that we wouldn't waste all that money, because you'd make 5% of the permanent fund available to us for spending every year. And right now that'd be close to $2 billion. In order to make sure that that money didn't get spent on a public works in one part of the state that don't benefit the other, the Conference of Alaskans said you've got to put the dividend in the Constitution. And I think they recognize the political reality of the bargain you'd have to strike with the Alaskan people. In order to take some earnings for government, you have to give them something in exchange, and that's the dividend.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Kukesh?
Senator French, I apologize for this, but I think that it would really be helpful if you would just take a minute to explain the difference between a bill and a resolution as this refers to, because there's people watching out there who are saying, look at the legislature is going to take this away from us, and not understanding that this has to go to the vote of the people. And I know it's real basic, but I've got friends out there who are going to call me up after a while and say, what are you doing taking my dividend away or not protecting my dividend? And this is a joint resolution as compared to a bill, and that this would eventually have to go to the vote of the people, depending on what we do here, of course.
Okay.
If that's all,
yes,
right.
So we'll yield back to Senator French.
Senator Kukesh, through the chair, you've explained it very well, and I'm glad you did. It's true. This idea that we're debating would have to go through the Senate and through the House by a two-thirds majority in both bodies, and then go out to the people of the state of Alaska for a vote. So there's nothing that we can do or say here that changes anything until that entire process happens. And I think as this bill does move through, you'll see a lot of discussion on this very topic. Madam Chair, you've been generous with your time. I know there's other folks here, experts, who can describe how the bill would work in the sort of financial details, as well as representatives from the Permanent Fund Corp, who may have an idea about whether this.
And as usual, Senator French, it's always great to hear your expertise. I did want to make one, if you'd consider a correction on your sponsor statement, the second paragraph to the bottom, if you would say the age, I believe they do have to be at least a year, only half the residency has to be in one full year. So if that could get added, maybe that would be helpful.
We will point out that
it says each citizen. And I remember, of course, my late husband being involved in this 20 years ago, and he would say, like, if the dividend would be like $1,000 per individual, that multiplies as a spending thing for the economics of our state maybe six times over. So it's a really an economic engine, too, that doesn't often get talked about and gets a bad rap. Well, they just take their money and plan to go to a trip to Hawaii. That isn't the case in more than 90% of the people. So I appreciate the discussion. I think it's been a lively discussion. And if no one else has any other. Okay, thank you very much, Senator French. Now we'll go to testimony, and we have, I believe, off-net Tam Cook from Legal.
Madam Chair, I am here to answer questions as they arise.
Okay, all right. And then as far as, is there anyone in the audience that would like to come forward and speak? Seeing none. One moment, please. And I would certainly give the courtesy to Mr. Burns from the Alaska Permanent Fund if he wanted to come forward and make any comments. Here for questions as well. Okay, thank you. Any of the colleagues at the table have anything else? Okay. With that, then I'm going to close public testimony.
If I could just ask Mr. Burns kind of what, you know, what.
Okay, then, Senator, excuse me, we'll back up a second. And Senator Pascvan would like to ask just a couple clarifications, probably, if you'd come forward, state your name and affiliation for our record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Michael Burns, Executive Director of the Permanent Fund.
I'm Laura Ashe, the Director of Communications.
Thank you. Okay, Senator, we'll start off with you then, Senator Pascvan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, what I'm interested in is kind of your thoughts on this earnings reserve account and how that would operate under your current structure if that were to be designated as a permanent contribution. Does it restrict, you know, what are your thoughts in that regard?
Through the chair, Senator Pascvan. Let me say first that the board has never taken a position on use of earnings. I mean, that is completely up to the legislature. I think the fund was created that way, and so, you know, whether it's dividends or services or anything, that is completely a public policy issue that's on your side of the table. So we've never taken a position on that. Mechanically, I think was what I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but I don't think mechanically it would change management much. As I understand it, it's the same formula, so I don't think it would change your investment focus in any way. At least at this point, I'd have to think about it a little more, but I don't think it would.
Okay. Follow-ups?
Yes. In other words, that is in part my question, is whether it creates some systemic risk to the fund because you now have to deal with monies in a different way, and it's just making me feel more comfortable that's not creating a systemic risk.
Through the chair, Senator, I don't see it creating that kind of risk. I mean, I think our investment philosophy and procedures and policies would remain the same.
Through the chair, yes. If I may add, one of the differences between the permanent fund and a pension fund has a set liability. But the interesting thing about the permanent fund is our liability each year is driven by what the fund spends off in statutory net income. So we don't have this wouldn't enshrine in the Constitution a set liability for the permanent fund any more than the statutory language does.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from? Okay, thank you very much. Sure. Appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. And do my fellow committee members have any comments or questions at this point?
Well, you know, I would just have, Senator French, you know, you were talking about this being part of a greater debate, and if is your preference that that greater debate occur here later, or that it occur in Alaska in general? You know, kind of, you know, we're just starting to bring out some of these issues, and I have no problem advancing the bill, or the advancing the resolution, but you know, just deferring to your thoughts on where you would like that greater debate to occur.
Senator French, I know the answer.
I'd love for it to happen in the Finance Committee. and then you know, I think as it moves through there and then to the floor, I think you'll see a widespread discussion.
Thank you. We have a follow-up. Senator Kukesh?
I just wanted to say that the debate has already started. I think we've had a great discussion today on it. I appreciate the bill coming forward, and I look forward to the debate on the floor.
Okay. So what is the will of the committee at this point? Do I have a motion to move SJR 24 from committee with individual recommendations?
Madam Chair, I would move that Senate Joint Resolution number 24, version /R, be moved from this committee with individual recommendations. And there is no fiscal note, or excuse me, there is. Well, that's right. We just got that this morning with the attached fiscal note, that we move it from State Affairs to the next committee.
Okay. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, SJ/R24 moves out of State Affairs to Finance. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.